Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Souls, the channel. Sports In Depth is the show. It is a Sunday, and we are loaded with lots of action, a lot of interviews, and a lot of things to talk about. From basketball, which seems like it's to the point of Manhattan, but first, a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for little things that we so largely take for granted. We thank you for being our God. We thank you, dear Lord, for blessings unseen, undeserved, and definitely unmerited. We thank you for little things we so largely take for granted. Thank you, dear Lord, as that man said, even though we don't live on Park Avenue, but by the grace of God, we don't live on a park bench. And you are God all by yourself. And as I say, you may not be everybody's God, but you are God. And we ask these blessings and all other blessings in the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, the channel. Sports In Depth is the show. When we open the show, that's the voice of Larry Hardesty, the greatest African-American sportscaster in the history of New York City radio, which means the greatest African-American sportscaster all time. Larry did over a decade and a half at inner-city WBLS Radio. Larry also now is a sideline reporter at ESPN Radio, and he played under the legendary Coach Floyd Lane at CCNY. Now, Coach Lane was captain of the CCNY, the community college team that did something that no other basketball team has ever done and no other basketball team will ever do. They won the NCAA and the NIT championships in the same year, in a time where the NCAA was second to the NIT. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake with the Network Rainbow Soldier Channel. Sports In Depth is the show. I see Dusty is in. I see Lococo is in. Got a commercial for you. Okay, the Latin Charlie Bird, 9-time Grammy Award winner Paquito D. Rivera, this coming Saturday, October 29th at 8 p.m. as the 35th anniversary of performing arts at the Lehman Center for Performing Arts will feature him. We're also with the Mambo Legend Orchestra, with so many members from the late, great Tito Puente Orchestra. And that'll be this Saturday, 8 p.m. You can call at 718-960-8833, 718-960-8833, or go online, www.lehmancenter.org. As you know, the Lehman Center is located at 250 Bedford Park Boulevard West. And train, you can take the 4 or the D. The D will put you 2 blocks away. The 4 will put you 1 block away. The D can take you up there. They have parking. Okay, the parking is only $5. So if you got a car, gas is a little cheaper. Maybe better to take the car. It's going to put the same thing on the train. But this Saturday, consider the Latin Charlie Bird. Met him on many occasions with a guy. I mean, he plays the flute. He plays the clarinet as well as the tenor saxophone. Paquito D. Rivera, Cubano. Yes, he is, and he's at least. I'll tell you the story about Tito Puente and that whole thing. You know, Tito,
he was chased out of Cuba by Castro.
Really? Yes. Really? Okay, Dusty.
Him
and
Arturo Sandoval.
Right now, I don't need to
him and Arturo Sandoval because
when I'm trying to get
Cuba.
I'm trying to get a ticket. The last thing I need to know is from. Hey, you was chased out of Cuba. Now, Dusty told me that. You know. And
yep.
but you know the thing. about him. So many people chased out of port. Remember poor Celia couldn't go back to Cuba, Tito? Remember? Mia Dio.
Absolutely.
In fact,
Celia's birthday was, she'd be 84, 86, 80, I think it was 85 last Friday.
Last Saturday? Last Saturday? I got a chance to meet her, the first lady of Latin music. And, you know, the thing about Tito, which you know, is that, you know, the timbales, Tito was a timbale player. In fact, you know, the thing that really put Tito in a financial position of stability was Oye Como Va wrote that, Santana played it, and that was the beginning of him, you know, some financial flotation. But the story that Tito told was interesting. You know, Tito's timbale player, back of the band, and the guys just always had to turn around and get the signals from Tito. And they said, hey, you know what, man? Why don't you just go up front so you can turn around and give us the signals? And that's how the timbale came up to be in the front of the band instead of the back of the band. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake, with another Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Death for the show. I see Lulu Coco. I see this Daniel Baby Lewis. Is that the first lady with us now, too?
Yes, I'm here, Doc.
Did Howard Weston join us yet? Okay, ladies going first. J-E-T-S Jets. Wow. You know, Lady A, 27-21, they pull it out. They beat a good team. This week, they beat a bad team. You said something, and what we're going to do, we're going to take a break right now and just go to your interview. Did you cue them up for me yet?
Yeah, I was just having a problem with LTs a little bit. I think I'm only going to be able to give you the one with Connor.
Okay, well, we'll do Connor. We'll come back. Okay, well, let's go into the Jet locker room after a big, big win, 27-21 over the San Diego Chargers team, picked by many with the Super Bowl. John Connor talks to the first lady of Sports in Depth, Lady A. Let John have his way.
Media Sports in Depth here with John the Terminator. Oh, Connor, tell me how important this win was for you guys today.
It was a great win for us, especially going into the bye week, getting some time off. It's just a great feeling when you have some time off and you think good thoughts, you know, after that performance we put on.
Well, prior to coming into this game, you guys were 3-3. Now you're 4-3. You're looking at a tough schedule coming up.
San Diego's a great team. We definitely had to come through in the end and keep fighting. We're just going to keep fighting like we do. That's our identity. We just got to keep fighting throughout the rest of the season.
What do you think you guys are going to have to do differently now with this next team coming up? You guys even going to be looking at, I think it's San Francisco later on down in your game schedule. I mean, what do you think you're going to have to do differently? I think it's San Francisco, right? Is it San Francisco?
I don't think we have San Francisco.
Or it's the Patriots. It's the Patriots coming
up. Patriots later on again.
And then you got Buffalo next week.
We got Buffalo next week, right.
It's going to be a tough team.
Right.
What do you think you're going to have to do differently to pull off?
We don't want to do anything too differently. Buffalo's a great team. We definitely have to bring our A game. They're playing really good football. Can't do anything differently. Just got to go in there, play our game, and just keep fighting.
You need a Terminator? Guys have some serious hits this game.
That was our thing going into this game. We wanted to make it a physical game and be the most physical team. So I think we did that.
Well, listen, I wish you luck for the rest of the season.
I appreciate it.
All right,
thank you
so much.
The Terminator, John Connor. Now, will you want to try the LT thing, see how that works out? Can we give LT a shot?
You know what it is? I think it's just a little bit too much space in the beginning. That's about 20 seconds. I'll try to forward it, but I don't think it's going to come
out. Okay, why don't you off-air just play the 20 seconds, and I'll talk for 20 seconds, and we'll come on back and do them.
All right, sounds good. All right.
Okay, you played 20 seconds. Now we'll do count to 20 seconds. Hey, LT, had a just tremendous season some time ago. And the thing he talked about, guys, he talked about leadership, and he talked about, you know, it was amazing finally playing his old team. It was something he had to do. It was closure, and the W made it a good closure. LT, number 21, LaDainian Tomlinson, talks to the First Lady of Sports in Depth about playing against his old team, about leadership, about another big, big win for the JETS Jets here on Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soldiers channel. LT, talk to me.
Quick question. How did it feel to be playing against your old team?
I felt good. You know, I felt good to, you know, kind of close that chapter. You know, you really don't get a chance to close it until you play them. You know, and obviously getting the win was huge. And, you know, it's a sense of satisfaction, you know, to be honest with you.
You've been in the league for quite some time. Obviously, your veteran leadership is going to be important here. I read somewhere that you give a lot of motivational speeches before the game to motivate your teammates. How important do you think it that is now with the season. You guys are going to be playing some really difficult teams. How important do you think that leadership is going to be in this team and, you know, grabbing the bull by the horns and going out there and winning the next few games? Because you guys got a bye week coming up next week and then you're playing a tough team in Buffalo.
Well, it's always, you know, important, you know, to have leadership, you know, in the team. You know, that's what allows you to get through the tough days after a loss, you know. But at the same time, leadership allows, you know, the team to stay focused. When you got guys to step up and say, search teams, you know, and get the team going. You know, just ask that confidence and that focus that you have to have. And so it's very important. Like you said, we got two straight division games coming up. It's going to be very important that we're focused and ready to go.
Thank you.
LT, and at the time, we want to take this moment, as you know, C-Wings, who is our football guru, expert, and a man who, along with LA, has taken Sports in Depth to heights unimaginable, football-wise, and our relationship with New York Jets. We just want to always personally thank Jared, Bruce, whose birthday is coming. Happy birthday to you, Bruce, and the lovely Megan Gilmore, for all their just kindness and courtesy. You know, they've gone beyond the call of duty to help Blake Radio, and we'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of our CEO, Mr. Neil Blake, the First Lady of Administration here, Lady D, and the First Lady of Football, Lady A, and Cedric, to just publicly thank them for their kindness, for their professionalism, for their courtesy. I mean, there's a difference between professionalism and kindness, and they just super duper. And at this time, all of us here at the Blake Network would like to send our sympathy to Cedric, you know, at the early part of this week, Cedric lost his uncle. He's not with us this week because he's out of town. I think a lot of you know Dusty, Cedric, Lady A, and myself have been blessed by God to work in civil service capacity. Cedric hadn't talked on the phone last week to say, Doc, you know, I haven't heard from my uncle for a couple of days. I don't feel good about this. Let me, and he's a captain. Sent a squad car over, and they had to tear the door down and find out that his uncle had passed away, been there for a couple of days. And his family, yeah, he's on the road, they're down in the south. And so we want to send our condolences to him, our sympathy, and realizing that earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And we just have, he's in our prayers and thoughts. The lineup continues to get bigger and bigger. Let's do a roll call right now. I just need your name. You can tell me, yeah, it is. Dusty, you're here. Lady A, you're here.
Yes, I'm here.
We have, did Howard Weston join us yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
Howard
Weston. And I said, you know, I want him to speak, and I know you're here. I didn't need this, okay?
Come on, Doc,
Mel,
you don't love Harold. Stop.
Rooney's here too?
We're with you, Doc.
Okay, and Harold, if this keeps up, Harold, there's a good chance you may have to start calling from Florida, okay? And
Harold, you know I went to the fight with him yesterday. I couldn't stop talking about you. He got so annoyed, he walked away from me. I got Harold's fight.
You know, it's funny. Linwood Maxwell signed me and said, lies, this is lies. we're going to talk boxing. I just lost somebody. They'll come back. As you know, big win today for the Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets. Lady A, just real quickly, you know, two things me and you talked about. I've said this redundantly, and I want you to dovetail this on a minute, Dusty, when I come to you. I don't see Sanchez being this savior. I'm not content with him. And you said something that I said. The Jets need a backup quarterback that can come in there, do the job, and we can't continue to let Sanchez learn while we lose football games. Lady A, take it away.
Yeah, but not so much a backup, Doc, but I mentioned to you also a veteran leader. This is a tough time for the Jets right now. They got to get over this hump. And I brought it to your attention that I felt like it's important, imperative, I thought, that they have a veteran leader to try to take them out of that. And that's kind of like when I was interviewing LT, that's kind of like what I was trying to get from him. You know, someone who's been in the league for a while that can take them to that next level they need to be at, because this is tough. You know, now, especially with them coming up on a tough schedule coming up, I felt that it was a priority for them to at least have somebody there they knew they could go to, come in, you know, lead the team, get them out of this. And then, you know, Sanchez, hey, you know what, when you get the opportunity, stick them back in the game and possibly, you know, help to propel them to the level they need to be to get to the Super Bowl.
But so what you're telling me here, Dusty, is that...
Mm-hmm.
Even though this man has taken us to one step from the Super Bowl the last 2 years, he's not the right guy for the job, Dusty?
Well, I'm not saying that he's not the right guy for the game, okay? He's an apprentice who's very talented.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, ADA. He needs a veteran quarterback, a veteran backup. You know, right now, I don't know if you people agree or hang me, but McNabb is in disarray with the Vikings. They
hang
took
him. Hang him. Bring out the rope. Hang Dusty. Hang him. Hang him.
Why don't you bring McNabb to New York? Back
Dusty, you know what? Hold on. You said that. Lady A said that. We said that, what, 6 months ago, Dusty?
Right. Okay. And the problem here is that they don't. They're looking to retire McNabb by bouncing him around and embarrassing him. To me, that's cruel. Mm. Now, the problem here with the Jets that I saw today and I've been seeing for the last two or three games is the fact that they programmed Sanchez to one or two particular receivers. So what the hell is the sense of signing up Plexico Burris? Today there was a gold mine game, 3 touchdown Plexico. But before, they weren't throwing to Plexico at all. It was a Dustin Teller, whatever the heck his name is.
Yeah, Dustin Teller, Centennial Holmes.
Right. And Plexico was standing in the end zone, untouched, uncovered. He could have been sitting on a rocking chair with two Coronas and a roasted Cuban cigar, and nobody would touch him. He wouldn't throw to him. I'm telling you, and Keller was double-teamed, and they throw to Keller. This is what makes the Tom Brady's look so great. And I think was it the Drew Brees from New Orleans? Rodgers from Green Bay. They have a multiple of receivers, man, but that they throw to periodically when they have the primary, and the primary is covered, boom, they got the secondary and the third dude. But they program Sanchez, again, to just earmark on Sanchez, program to just throw to a certain bunch of people. And that goes to management, that stupid blunderbuss, and his coaching staff are screwing up the Jets. I was surprised.
Are you talking about the offensive coordinator who Rooney loves so much?
Oh, God.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my
man,
God.
I'm sick and tired of that. But the fact of the matter is that yes, Sanchez did the best. You see how some of the throws were over, under, whatever, and Plexico standing there by himself.
Doc, can I say something?
What I'm saying to you.
She is saying what you're saying, and when you get through Lady A, Rooney, I want you to protect your man, Scheinheimer.
Yeah,
sure.
Go ahead,
Lady A.
No, I was just going to say that you know, Dusty's 100% correct. I mean, there were two interceptions in total Sanchez gave away, but there were like three or four other ones that could have been interceptions. And you and I were sitting there looking at each other, Doc, and I was like, Doc, did you see that? He could have had about six or seven interceptions on him today.
Yeah,
and
they could have blown the game.
Well, they try. Okay, Rooney, you've been saying this for the longest time. And, you know, in fact, you've been saying this all the time. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldiers, the channel, Sports and Death is the show. It's a Sunday evening. Destino, baby, Lois, Lady A, little Mel Smith, little Coco, and the Hoops of Harry Weston got cut off. He'll be back with you. You've been saying this for a long time. And they got away the last. You're still not happy with the offensive coordinator, Rooney.
Doc, I've been singing this song, as you know, for quite some time, that a Schottenheimer is just the guy at times is play calling. Doc had me pulling my hair out. You know, I'm going to have to join a club. I'm not only going to be a client. I'm going to have to become the president, because this guy had me pulling my hair out more often than not. I have to say, Doc, now giving credit where credit is due, they have gone to two championship games 2 years in a row, okay?
Mm-hmm.
However,
yeah.
I have to say that I have to agree with Dusty 100%. The
no,
play calling
anyway.
For me is always suspect when it comes to Schottenheimer. But the bigger picture, Doc, here is, if I may, Sanchez is enormously talented, but as the great Lady A said, and as you have been saying, he needs somebody there, a veteran quarterback with veteran leadership that can kind of pull his coat, if you will, or just some nuances. He needs a bit of a teacher. He's enormously talented, and his growth has been repelled by the fact that until they were called out recently by, I believe it was Holmes, they were playing absolutely lousy. He didn't
yeah.
have the time.
Mm-hmm.
To, you give this kid some time, the kid can get it done, okay? I'm not going to say that he is the savior of this franchise, but if you can give this kid some time, I'd like to see what the kid can do.
Rudy, what you were saying,
necessary.
What you were saying is what Joe Namath said last year. Right, he's a second-year quarterback, and next year he'll be your third year. It takes time, even if you're a talented quarterback, and you are validating what the great Joe Willie Namath said, and, you know, it's going to take some time, Real quickly now, did Hoopster, did you join us? I thought the Hoopster joined. Harold, you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought the Hoopster. Mm-hmm. Okay, Harold, last night, and yeah, I mean, you would have been in your glory. I mean, did you catch that fight last night from the Garden?
Yep.
You saw it. I told you.
Harold, you know, there was just some amazing things happening, and the guy came over to me and he said, "Doc, you know, you've been here. Well, what do you think?" I said, "You know, what is happening is what Harold Weston has kept saying. The problem with boxing today is you have guys who come to guys who don't know anything. You have the blind leading the blind. But I'm a 13-year-old kid, and I think this guy knows what he's talking about, but he doesn't know what he's talking about." Harold said guys are one-dimensional. You know, even if, well, they don't have the guy to come, but even the guy said, "Hey, man, work the body," guys don't know how to work the body. They don't know how to work the jab. They don't know how to cut off the ring. And this guy who came in last night, who had his last two fights, had fought a total of 3 or 4 rounds. And Roy Jones said something too, Harold. He said, you know, the kid looked bad because he fought a KGO pro. He fought a southpaw. He fought a guy who knew how to survive. He fought a 2-time Olympic champion.
Absolutely.
He fought a guy who knows how to fight, and he made him look bad. I mean, he got away with the victory, but this guy had some punch. He was, in a lot of ways, last night, Harold, exposed.
Well, he was exposed, but the fact, whatever Roy Jones say, don't listen to it, okay? Because he sounded like an ignorant person last night when he stated that the guy should just come here and just get the money and just survive the fight. It doesn't make no difference how he looked, and it does make a difference how you look. And
good.
His comments was ridiculous. And the point is that that's the way Roy Jones fight, and that's what he's doing right now. He's just fighting just to make some money. But my point to this whole thing is that they built this kid up like he was the next superstar. Where is superstar built on this kid? This kid don't have no superstar status whatsoever. When you become a superstar is when you know every move in the book of boxing, that you know how to take a guy out. And when you got a guy that's trying to survive, you should just beat him to death. And he didn't do nothing.
Absolutely.
Okay? He didn't have no real cagey type of fighting in him. He didn't know the movements. He didn't know how to step to the side. He's supposed to just walk this guy down. Then on the top of that, if he was a great, he's supposed to be a superstar. He's supposed to have a jab. He don't even have a jab. But my point is that it was the most boring fight that I have seen in a long time.
Sports writers who fell asleep at ringside, Harold. I mean,
I was falling asleep too.
God,
well, you were
home. When you having a fight like a Bernard Hopkins, where it was a disgrace, and then you come next week and you get this fight, that's a double disgrace. You know, you just say to yourself, like people were saying in the audience, this is bull. I mean, they were just saying it because that's what boxing is.
Yeah, they were screaming. Yeah.
When you got people in the audience in New York City saying that, you got a problem. You got a real problem in this business. And what's happening, like I said before, you got guys, managers, you got promoters, and you got even fighters are just going for the dollar. Forget about the public putting on the right show. Forget about that you really are just robbing people, and there should be a law against this situation because there's a fraud going on. My point is that this is a disgusting period for boxing. And, I mean, I have put on 2 great shows in Florida, and what I have been seeing now for the last 3 or 4 weeks is a shame in boxing today.
It's been garbage.
And to pull this boxing out of the hole.
And Harold's absolutely
Bob Arum said
right.
Something. Bob Arum said something before the fight, and he's, we were at the press conference. He said something. He said, you know what? He said promoters today, too, don't want to take a chance. He said, you know, Don, throw your name. He said, you know, they promoted fights, didn't know how they, but they took a chance. They made these guarantees, but they took it. Do you see that, Harold? I mean, you said how Don and Aram implemented a situation that kind of was positive and yet detrimental. But he said promoters today are not willing to take a chance and not willing to bring the best product to the fight fan.
Well, they're not taking the chance because it's like they got an investment in the fight. And if they fight or lose, then that investment goes out the window. So they don't want to take a chance. The other problem is they don't know what they got. Because, you, like I said, for the last 20 years, you had a blind leading a blind. And nobody in boxing knows what the heck they're doing. They don't know style. They don't know how good their fighters is. They don't know nothing. And that's the bad part. When I'm saying nothing, know nothing about boxing.
Right.
There's not one person that I can put up and say, okay, you take a fighter, I'll give you 100, I'll take 10 of the best fighters, you pick one or two, I pick one or two, and I'll beat you every time. Because you know nothing. And that's what the key point is right now. And these guys don't know how to make that. Am should never have made that match with this kid from Argentina coming here to fight this kid on the server. I know darn well we had at least one or two kids at 122 pounds from California or down in Texas somewhere that was better than this was going to come to fight. This was
the why did he make the match, Harold?
Well, the other thing, because the other kid from Argentina was supposed to have been a champion, some kind of bantamweight champion or something like that.
Mm-hmm. 189-0 with 19 KOs.
Yeah, but the fact is that you saw films of him. You saw, you know the style. You look at the fight and you say, okay, is he going to put up a good fight? No, he can't. He's too small and he's more of a defense. He came here just to survive. And if you see films like that, then you know what kind of fighter you got. And nobody from Argentina came to see him fight. It ain't like it. You brought in Carlos Monzon and everybody said, okay, we know he can fight. We're going to support him.
Galindo.
You didn't have that.
Yeah. Mm.
Well,
Don, can I say something?
Yeah. Hold on. Lady A? Oh, Lady A.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, just to add to what Harold was saying earlier, one of the things that we were discussing early on was the fact that, hey, you know, by the second or third round, we're sitting there, Harold was 100% right. I mean, we were even discussing it with Mike upstairs. Mike's one of the guys that goes with us to the fight. He was like, Doc, not for nothing. Why isn't this guy countering and going in and attacking this guy? He should have exposed this guy from the beginning. He knew he was this type of fighter. You know what? Go in and do what you got to do and finish the guy.
Well, knowing what to do and being able to do it is another thing.
What I'm trying to say here is that for the simple reason is that what the analyses of Harold Wesson and what you people saw is exactly what's happening today. Nonito Donaire, you know, there's the old expression. Remember Harold? Killed the body and the head dies.
That's right.
Go to the body. And he was super cautious. I've seen guys like Donito last night, and this is embarrassing to me from the Clancy's and the Sid Martins and the Frank Rodriguez's, that jab going backwards. I said, my God, that's not what a jab is all about. That's what he was doing yesterday. Now, this dude came here for survival. I got to give kudos to the promoters. Why? Because they got to keep their fighters busy. So what happens? They go to Europe to the boxing morgues and find these bodies with half-assed good record and impress the crowd. Hey, 39-0, 19 KOs, this guy is a champ of the junior bantamweight. Oh, my God, this is a killer. But they're not. Look at Sergio Martinez, Lou DiBella. He's bringing in these corpses from the Ukraine and from England and from Russia, and he's killing them here just to keep their body, the fighters busy and make a few dollars. And I don't know why Bob Allen says, well, you know, these promoters, because Bob Allen is in the same tank doing the same thing. What they're doing is just to keep. Now, this guy here, hey, just like Carlos Baldomir, he comes here. I read somewhere where he picked up $500,000. So $500,000, when he goes to Argentina, he's a freaking billionaire. Boom. And he's still is a world champ because he still kept the other title. He didn't come here to win. He came by his own admission to showcase himself. But God damn it, who the hell is going to promote him now that he looked like a piece of crap? But he looked like a piece of crap because Donito Donaire did not know how to open him up to make him fight. And the funny
yeah,
thing
but about Dusty,
that,
Dusty,
that, that
Dusty,
the,
Dusty,
as good as Donaire, as good as Donaire is, this dude hit him clean. Hit him clean three or four, or maybe six, seven times. Counter punches. Clean. He hit him cleaner than Donito Donaire hit him. I think Donaire hit him once, and this guy hit him clean about seven times.
But Dusty, what was so great about this kid, Donaire? I mean, I wasn't impressed with him at all. All it was
no,
jab, jab,
not,
right
I,
hand,
I,
jab,
I,
jab, right hand. What is so impressive about him? He doesn't show me anything.
Nothing impressive. About him. I'm not even impressed with Donito Donaire. The what has caught the eye of people is the fact that he knocked out one of my favorites, Victor Chinian, and then he killed Fernando Montiel. And that makes him
well,
great.
Victor Chinian, I don't call Victor a great fighter. I mean, he fights with his hands down, and anybody
yeah.
that has a good right hand, I mean, you're going to nail him on the chin. So I wasn't impressed with that.
No, but it's the eye catcher because Darchinian is supposed to be the raging bull, and this guy comes out of the Philippines and knocks him out. That's the big upset that caught people's eye. He turns around.
They put him on a pedestal like he was the best thing since sliced bread, and I didn't see anything like that. And that was the crazy thing about the whole situation.
Like, that's a promotion of the promoters to build up this guy like a god, like he's a second Pacquiao coming out of General Santos, the same place. But he's not.
Yeah, but I had a problem even with the announcers even trying to build him up, talking about he's the next superstar and all that other stuff.
The announcer's supposed to be
more of in the middle, and I mean these guys were trying to build something that wasn't there, and I was like
well,
a joke.
Exactly.
Well, I think the thing with
was exposed yesterday as a fraud, and that's exactly
You know, here is that, you know, HBO is pushing this guy, and they're pushing him. Hold on a second. I've got to make an announcement one more time. The Hoops is with us. Got a chance to talk to Stephen A. Smith, and, you know, he said some things, Hoopster, that, you know, it was right here on Sports and Death. Hoopster told us a long time ago that the season was not going to start in time, and now... As he said, there's a very good chance that there will be no NBA season. And Stephen was saying, that the big thing here is that the players have to understand when they have leverage and when they don't have leverage. And he thinks to a certain degree there's times that they do and they don't. What's the latest word on this NBA lockout, Hoopster?
Good evening. I just want to say good evening to everybody over there.
How you doing, Hoopster? Good evening.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Well, it ain't over yet. So the main thing is they want to split. They want a 50-50 split of a $4.3 billion.
Wow.
And the NBA makes $9 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And the players make 53% and the owners 47%.
Mm.
That's
wow.
the main thing. They want a 50. The owners want a 50-50. Everybody want a 50-50 down the middle. The players are not going
to
give in.
To Stephen A. Smith, and then I'm going to make another commercial, and we'll talk about Donnell Rivers. Stephen A. Smith, I asked him to give me his all-time first five, and we're going to go with your five. I mean, Julius Erving's first five was Elgin Baylor, Russell, Chamberlain, Wes, and Oscar on the ball with Connie Hawkins coming off the bench. Stephen A. Smith said, now it's my team. He great line. He said Jabbar in the center. He said because Jabbar came in with the skyhook and left with the skyhook. He's got Larry Bird up front. He said even though Scotty is a better defensive play, he's going with Larry Bird up front. Tim Duncan, because he's Tim Duncan, he said, and he's got on the ball. He's got Magic and Michael Jeffrey Jordan. What do you think of that team, Hoopster?
I like that team. It's a good team, but my lineup was something else.
Okay, give me one more time your lineup. McAdoo?
McAdoo.
Doc. Chamberlain.
Earl and Clyde in the backcourt, and Will Chamberlain.
And Chamberlain
center.
In the middle.
And I had Jordan come off the bench.
Hey, you know what? There's a very good chance that they might play with other teams, so he could start. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports and Death is the show. We're going to listen to the man who once again had another key. It looked like he was going to go all the way, helped turn the game around, considered by many to be the best defensive back in football, Darrell Revis. He talked after the end of the Jets' 27-21 win, a big win as they go into the bye week. Considered by many the best cornerback in pro football, whether you want to go with the guy in Philly or not,
Revis has produced. Let's listen. Number 24, Jackie Robinson's number backwards, Willie Mays' number up front.
Barry
cornerback. And yeah, Barry wore that for a while, too. And we're going to talk about numbers in a minute, but let's go talk to Mr. Revis.
Under, but even before that, it was a cheap play because they were pushing, they were in the high red zone and they were, winning the score. So it's good for even for our defense to make a play and turn the ball over. I don't know. I got to look at the scene. I really don't know. I just know, at halftime we came in, we adjust and, we tried to stop them on third down. I mean, they were number one offense coming in this game on third down, and we did a horrible job in the first half. They were 6-7, and we couldn't get off the field. So we just made some adjustments and tried to stop them on third down.
What were the adjustments? What kind of adjustments did you make?
In the second game, just play tighter coverage, communicate, know what we're doing. First half, we had a little bit of miscommunication on third down a couple times, and our second half, we just played tight defense, and that was it. I mean, the guys up front, they put more pressure on Phillip, and we made plays.
You change up
a little
bit. We're
just talking about the second half adjustments. And once again, another big INT almost took it all the way again. Jets, big winners today against San Diego, and that's it. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, main most of the channel Sports and Depth is the show.
It looked like at one time he was going to go all the way. There was a big flare during the course of the week because of a flare-up that and I've said this before, and I think I've said this redundantly. So many athletes don't want to play in New York City because of what happened the other day. And Don Mattingly and Dave Righetti, and if you know Don Mattingly, if you know Dave Righetti, there's no two finer human beings that walked the earth, two no more loyal employees, New Yorkers, guys who gave so much to the Yankees and to the game and the people. And they both told me the problem with New York City is that no matter what you do, it's not enough. If you're hitting 400, but you're hitting 210 with men in scoring position. If you won your last five games, yeah, but you only had two complete games and your ERA is 298. If you scored four touchdowns, yeah, but you're only carrying the ball for four. And Terry Pendleton told me he took $500,000 less per year on his contract than to come to New York and subject his family to the New York type of media. And maybe I'll do some baseball interviews later where I talk to George Vesey, who did a book on Stan Musial, and also Ian Cannon, who just did a book on Derek Jeter. And speaking about that, we want to go to you, Dusty. Once again,
yeah.
Albert Pujols, who Lady A loves, three home runs in the whole history of baseball. And this is where the pride stands when you talk about the players. In the whole history of baseball, only three guys have ever hit three home runs in a World Series game.
Absolutely.
Babe Ruth did it twice, but two out of three have been minorities. Reggie Jackson as a Yankee and Pujols as a Cardinal. And just right now, the greatest right-hand hitter in the game, I think, without question of his crop, because he's not in there with Jeter and A-Rod and those guys, the bona fide Hall of Famer, three home runs. And the thing that has seemed to bother people so much, and as George Vesey said today, that he may not be there next year with St. Louis, but guys really love playing in St. Louis. But Russo probably leaving, he may be gone. And the thing here, Dusty, that has been a sticker, a crow in the people's throat, is they always want to secretly or download, try to say they've never. And it's been the thing too with Barry Bonds. I mean, to this day, Barry Bonds has never ever been proven negative in steroids, and yet he was ostracized, blackballed from baseball. And Gary Sheffield had said something during Roger Clemens. He said, how come nobody suspects of Rogers? And when Roger was supposedly proven guilty, the trainer was lying. They were going to make a special clemency thing for him. You don't hear anything about it. And so often, as that list 2 years ago, it's amazing that only guys that were leaked off that list were minorities,
A-Rod,
Big Poppy, and Manny Ramirez. But and you've heard the stories, Dusty, and they upset the powers. They're upset that this man has never been, because they kept ensuring he's taking steroids, and he's never been proven to be a steroid user. He's doing this off natural talent, and this seems to bother a lot of the powers that be, Dusty.
Well,
it bothers baseball racists or the baseball people who want to link all minorities into one garbage can. The man is a powerhouse, but you see, it's the climate of the time that this is what you got to understand. If the man hits like this guy Bautista from the Toronto Blue Jays, oh, boom, there was an inference. Man, is he on steroids? Okay. Pujols hit bop, 30 home runs for the last team. Is he on steroids? Because it's the panic, the climate of the time because of the guilty parties. And the guilty parties are in the same community, which is baseball. Everybody has had to have done it once in a while. And when you do something like Pujols, well, he has to be on steroids. Let me just say something here that today's post, I think it was, is Señor Octubre, relating him to Reggie and in October. But there is a difference here. Somebody, and please correct me if I'm wrong. Reggie hit those three home runs with three different pitches, and on the first pitch, I don't think that guy can come back. So that's what makes him more outstanding than anybody else. But getting back to this steroid nonsense, well, you know, it's happened. It happens all the time. It's the climate of the time, unfortunately. The man is clean. The man is a monster. The man can hit the ball a mile. But the fact of the matter is, wait a minute. Is he on steroids? Did he contact the Balco manager? Nobody. No, come on. That's the climate of the time. This is why I would not even worry about this now, because that's all paparazzi gossip. Understand? Now, the fact that he is in his last year of his contract, LaRusso wants him, everybody in St. Louis wants him, well, then bring me the money. Pay me the money. I mean, you want me to stay here? I think I am entitled to the contract. I've done more to deserve this contract. And that's basically what it is. If they win today, well, they're losing 1-0 going into the fifth. But if they win the series today, he's been a big help. I mean, defensively and offensively, I've seen him not bat correctly and strike out on ball four, but defensively, the man has been the gold help.
Go ahead, Lady A.
I think Albert Pujols, and this is just food for thought, because they were just the press was just all over him the day before because he missed the cutoff. I would hit three home runs for every single game left in the series and never talk to the press, just to shut them up, because they were hanging this guy the day before
because he made an error.
Because he made an error.
One lousy little error.
And all of a sudden he didn't want to talk to the media. You know what, man? I would hit three home runs every game. No, I don't want to talk to you now. Goodbye. That's it. Like Chad Pennington did like a couple of years ago. You guys remember that? He walked away from the press. That was great.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, man. Yeah. They always try to find the negative. It's always a negative with this guy. I mean, come on, give him his props and leave him alone. He did what he did.
The media builds up a lot of garbage. The media builds up a lot of crap because, first of all, Big Bobby said something, I wouldn't mind playing for the Yankees. Oh, Bobby wants to go to the Yankees. Then there was another talk by one of the commentators about Prince Fielder coming to the Yankees. And they created a big snowball out of that. This is just commentary that people carry that make no sense.
Listen, Doc and I go to press conferences and we sit there. How stupid can these people ask? They ask stupid questions, right, Doc?
They are the paparazzis of sports, man, because they come up with this garbage. And now Devil Rivers, when he got pissed off on Franco, what's his name?
Francesa,
because he kept insisting he should have had a flag when you caught that ball, and you should have had a flag. I mean, he's lucky he wasn't talking to me. I would have given him happy birthday in the wrong way. But now they make, Rivers should not have hanged up on him because that's it. Get out of here. Don't keep pushing me with garbage.
The referee was giving me a flag if it was wrong. He didn't give me a flag. I ran it down for a TD. What are you talking about? Well, he's the expert. Like, he saw everything. Like, he's the referee. I would have given you a flag. Get out of here, man.
That play. Marshall pushed on Rivas. I saw that play.
Yeah, exactly.
They both going for the ball. Yeah, I saw that play.
Marshall basically, if we want to narrow it down, it's the media that creates this garbage. Pujols is a good athlete. Pujols, all ball players is a good athlete. Some of these guys, Big Papi is on the end of his contract. If Boston doesn't sign him, he says, well, Contra, I wouldn't mind playing for the Yankees. That's just a thought. Why create gossip? Prince Fielder, at the end of his contract, he's also a free agent. Man. Fielder and with the Yankees, but they cannot replace Texeira because he's a first baseman. So who creates the garbage is these freaking media people who get paid millions of dollars to create gossip that has no foundation, man.
And they ask the stupid questions, Dusty. You're like, why would you ask that question? It's just so stupid sometimes. I tell you, man.
Because they got nothing else to do.
See, a lady ain't meanwhile, these guys are asking the questions, and they're going to, and for an example, they're going to tell Dusty or Harold about boxing and the sweet science. Meanwhile, come to find out these guys never had a pair of gloves on and wouldn't know a left hook from a fish hook.
Oh, my God. And you know what's
maybe,
crazy?
Maybe
like,
they were the kind of guys who at one time boxed apple and oranges. Great. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Show to the channel. Sports and Depth is your show. And we're going to got a chance at the football game. You never know who you're going to meet at the football game. And it was really, as we're talking about Albert Pujols, was great because George Vesey has just done a book on Stan Musial. As you know, Pujols wears number 5. Stanley Frank Musial used to wear number 6, and they called Albert Senor Hombre in St. Louis, and he said, no,
the
there's
machine.
Only one man in St. Louis, and that's Stanley Frank Musial. And then Ian O'Connor was there also. He did a book on Derek Jeter. As you know, Jeter is the only Yankee ever to get 3,000 bids. But we got a chance to talk to Stephen A. Smith, the controversial, the intellectual, the talented Smith. We're going
to
do more of a.
We're
going to do more with Stephen A. Stephen A. I remember before Stephen A. got the job, ESPN, and he was telling me, "Hey, man," he said, "you know, I'm going to ESPN tomorrow, and we're going to do more with him." It was very, very touching interview, and he said something, you know, how, and we're going to play a little bit. He talks about Pacquiao and Mayweather. Then we're going to move into George Vesey and Ian O'Connor. And he was staggering. I said, you know, you look great, man. You know, he says, man, he says, yeah. He said, but I got to watch that sugar. He said, people don't understand the addiction and the power of sugar. And he told a story that was fascinating. He said, you know, they had some rats, they were on cocaine. And then what they did, they left out cocaine for the rats, and they left out sugar. And after a couple of days, the rats were hooked on the sugar, the power of, you know, it just made it. But let's listen to Stephen A., and then we're going to go right into George Vesey and Ian O'Connor. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Rainbow Show, the channel. Sports and Depth is the show. And Stephen A. Smith.
Constant shape. He's never out of shape. He's always in tip-top condition. He can walk off the street and go 12 rounds. He can walk off the streets and go 12 rounds. That's the kind of conditioning that he's up. Bernard Hopkins is the same kind of dude.
Yeah.
Bernard Hopkins hasn't eaten steak since 1988. That's what he told me a few years ago. He hadn't eaten steak since 1988. This dude protects his body and himself. So when you got guys that do the right things by themselves and by their bodies, and they're saying we do it because we're in this profession and we have to guard and protect ourselves with our lives, okay? If this guy truly believes that Pacquiao is cheating, and I believe he believes it, then he has every right to protect himself at all costs and say, take the damn test, especially since he says, I'll put myself through the same thing. I'm not asking him to do anything that I won't do. I'm going to step into the ring with somebody that I know goes through the same thing I'm going through. I'm not putting myself and my career and my flawless record in jeopardy. How am I knocked out when you're passing away $60 million to do it? I got to respect it, because I would take the money and take my chance. I would take the money and take my chances. The fact that he won't do that, you got two choices. Either he is hell-bent on making sure it's a fair fight, or he's scared. And I refuse to believe that Floyd Mayweather Jr. is scared of another man in that ring. He's just too gifted.
That's his views. And let's talk. We're talking baseball, and we're talking Albert Pujols. Let's talk to George Vesey, one of the legendary writers of our time, and for the New York Times, as he talks about his book, Baseball, and Stanley Frank Mizzio.
Model, legendary George Vesey. George, you know, Albert Pujols, three home runs, joining Reggie Jackson and Babe Ruth. He's proven to be a guy that seems to be Hall of Fame bound.
Well, that's the way to do it. If you can join those two, you definitely are joining the company. I don't know that he thought about it, but I'm sure when somebody told him, it's a nice thing to do. Because I'm sure there could be another name in there that somebody would throw out of the wild card, but right now those three names work for me.
You know, he wears number 5, and I think right away the guy who wore number 6 got you close with, and I was just as a kid standing, the legendary incomparable Stanley Frank Mizzio.
Pujols has proven himself in St. Louis by his humility. I mean, here he is, the best player of the last decade, probably. And when people call him El Hombre, he says there's only one man in this town, and that's Stan Musial. There's a great, you know, the book I did on Stan Musial, which is out right now, there's a great photograph in there by a guy from the St. Louis paper of Pujols straightening out Musial's jacket on a very cold opening day a couple of years ago. And it's just such a sweet, it's the kind of thing that a younger man showing attention and respect to an older man. Well, that's the way Pujols has been. He has just given me, he said, in this town that, you know, I'm always going to be, and that's the way it should be. So, of course, whether he stays there again next year is another question.
The title of the book, can you use the title?
The title of the book is Stan Musial, An American Life. And An American Life has to do with him coming up from immigrant poverty and making his way to St. Louis, where he became an icon. It's as much about the country and the time, you know, the mid-40s, as it is about baseball itself. But Pujols is in there a lot.
Last question. So much is made about the records, the playoff records that count as postseason. I think postseason playoffs should be separated against postseason World Series.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, I grew up, and I'm sure you did too, where the World Series was a separate thing. You know, that sweet event that was played in the daylight, you know, and very often in New York, so we saw a lot of it. But nevertheless, it was a sweet event all by itself. And the fact that they now have a postseason, I can understand that. I mean, you have all these teams, 30 teams, you have to have something. But you need to keep it separate. You need to say the World Series record. You're talking about Reggie Jackson. You're talking about Babe Ruth or, you know, Bob Gibson or something. You're not talking about, you're not right. All the guys who shone in that World Series. You're not talking about all the guys that qualified for the playoffs, so to speak.
The last question, George. Where does it begin for the legendary George Vesey? You know, the writing, you know, you're from New York, right?
Oh, I'm a city boy. I'm a subway kid from Queens. Grew up in Jamaica, Queens, and commuted into Midtown, and I'm definitely a New York guy. Rooted for the Brooklyn Dodgers, traveled in there, and I can remember my dad calling home in 1947, April, saying the Dodgers just signed Jackie Robinson up from Montreal. That was a big deal in our household.
Baseball has never been the same since they left.
Well, it certainly wasn't for me. People say to me, who do you root for? I said, they stole my team about 50-plus years ago, so everybody's on their own since then.
Thanks a million, George.
Hey, man, nice to see you.
Real quick, George.
Ian O'Connor.
They said it's been nice for Detroit and Cleveland to see Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and Koufax, as well as the other side of New York and
George Vesey, part 2.
When interleague play came, you know, American League, National League, you know, it'd been nice to see Mantle in Pittsburgh and Clemente in Detroit.
Well, I could argue it both ways. I mean, it certainly is nice for the people that will go out, that will pay for the money and go out and see the games. On the other hand, with so much television, so much cable, fans can see whatever they want. I mean, there's no secrets. I mean, in the old days, players never saw each other. Ted Williams had never seen Stan Musial until September of 1946. He happened to be home in Boston while the Cardinals were playing the Braves, and he went out to a ballpark, but he had never seen the guy even on television. So that was, and Musial had been up for 5 years by that point. But nowadays, there's no secret. We all know what these players, if we care at all about the sport, we know what they look like. So I think it's a different time. I think that interleague baseball has diminished to some degree since they started. It seems more of a gimmick. On the other hand, the wild card, which I thought was a gimmick, has become entrenched. It now gets a very good team. The fourth team in the league gets them into the postseason. I got no problem with that.
last message goes, really, man, best player to ever play the game? Well, certainly one of the best. I think as Tony La Russa said the other day about great players, you know, they're talking about Pujols, and he said, if you're in the conversation, that's all that matters. So, you know, there's Willie Mays in the conversation. I'm a Babe Ruth guy because of the way he changed the game.
Okay.
I mean, he was a great pitcher, and then he was a great home run hitter at a point. I mean, he monopolized the game, or revolutionized the game, I should say. Willie Mays as the best overall talent of someone who could do all the talent. I mean, you could have made him a shortstop. Nowadays, you might say, you know, kid, you can hit 50 home runs, go play shortstop, and, you know, be something else. Now, he was a great player. He's in the conversation.
Thanks so much, my friend. Good to see you, Jay.
Always a pleasure.
Friend of Hill, Ian, kind of great writer, great friend. Ian, you know, the question I'm saying, you know, people are talking about postseason records, but shouldn't there be a difference between playoff records and World Series records?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think World Series, well, obviously, when you go back to when Mickey Mantle played Willie Mays, that's all they had, for the most part, was the World Series. So I think, yeah, you have to differentiate World Series from postseason. And also, it's the championship round. So what you do in that round should be magnified as opposed to the Division Series or even the League Championship Series. So, yeah, to me, for two reasons. One, because a lot of the old-timers, the greats, didn't get to play in the ALDS or an ALCS. And also, it's just a more important, the stakes are bigger. It's a more important round, and I think what you do, if you're a star player, what you do in the World Series, if you get the opportunity, I think really ultimately shapes and colors your legacy.
Has the wild card been good for baseball?
I think so, yeah. I think that I was for it in 95 because I thought in baseball, whereas in other sports sometimes you had too many teams making the playoffs, I thought too many fan bases were already out of it in early August, and I thought just to create interest and to add a couple of playoff teams, I thought baseball had too few. And I remember having this conversation around 95 with Bud Selig about it. I was totally on board. I love the wild card from the start. And I mean, now do we need an extra one? I don't know. I know a lot of people are a proponent of adding one per league. I sort of like the system the way it is now, but definitely pro wild card, and I think that it has created a lot of interest in fan bases in August and September that would have been eliminated really from contention had the wild card not existed.
What league play, good or bad?
Good, because I live in New York and I love watching the Mets and Yankees play. I don't think it's good in every market, but if you ask me, keep it or don't keep it, I would say it's worth keeping it, if only to have the Mets and Yankees play. I think there are some other pretty good rivalries in the bigger markets. I realize that at times you'll get matchups, whether it's Arizona against Kansas City, that, you know, obviously isn't going to inspire a lot of fans to attend, but I just think that because of two or three in the big markets, especially in New York, it's worth it.
It's tremendous, guy. I mean, first Yankee could do that, but more importantly, in New York City, I mean, you never hear anything negative about you. He has really looked so wolf and so choice as his guy who just adapted well to New York City, and just never hear nothing bad about you.
No, I wrote a book about him, so I did over 200 interviews and talking to people, and, you know, really, his negatives are really minor. They're really benign. He's sensitive to criticism. He doesn't forgive and forget very easily. A couple of other things. He should have been a better captain than Alex Rodriguez at times, but he's as close to perfect as you're going to find for the modern-day superstar. In a lot of ways, he's like Joe DiMaggio, except I think he treats people better than DiMaggio ever did. And that he's distant, he's private, doesn't like public examinations of his private thoughts. But overall, if you're looking for role models, and today they're in short supply, you see the scandal, the flame of scandal that has engulfed so many careers, whether it's Tiger Woods, Brett Favre, many others. Derek Jeter is sort of like the last man standing.
Title of the book?
It's called The Captain, The Journey of Derek Jeter.
Mm-hmm. How long has it been out now?
It's been out since April.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks, big guy. I know,
hey,
I kept you over.
That's okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. You got a call? One more call.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Stanley, Sports is Definitely on the Blake Radio, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports is Definitely the show, as Neil would say, Doc, slow down. Doc Stanley, Sports and Def on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports is Definitely the show. I want to thank Ian Connor and George Vesey, two friends, but, you know, you have to understand, fans, that we're at the Jet game, it's halftime, and both guys took time out, and people understand how valuable time is. I think my panel will be finding time, and they took time out to stop and do these interviews with me, and I just really thank them for their graciousness, their friendship, and their kindness is giving me the time because it's a football game. It was a big football game. And both guys said, okay, hey, Doc, you know. Oh, yeah, good, Doc. And I told them a minute and it stayed longer. Both guys were just, they're just great human beings. I just want to thank them for their time and their kindness and professionalism. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Beard, the Rainbow Show, the Channel Sports Network, the show. Harold and Dusty.
Yeah.
Well, Harold, Kim, Harold, Dusty was upset, but I think you kind of agreed with it. The WBC, in turn, said that it's a technical draw. Hopkins keeps his title. Your thoughts on that, Harold?
Well, the thing is, Hopkins said he was thrown down. He wasn't thrown down. The guy just gave him a little shove. I mean, you're taught how to do that when you're boxing, you know, in the ring. When somebody lays on you, try to just give him a little shove. But Hopkins just played so many games and everything. And the referee was just in the right. You couldn't give a file or you know, disqualify the other guy because of that little shove. And Hopkins was just falling down. My thing is that if the arm wasn't broke, okay, then nothing was wrong with the arm. If Hopkins wanted to continue, he could have continued. But the way he was acting was just ridiculous. That's what I'm going on. And so, you know, I mean, my thing is that I think that he, you know, when you call a call, and let me give you a good point where boxing is completely messed up. When a call was called like that, Hopkins is probably his favorite to win the fight. Do you know how much money was spent and betted on something like that?
Because Crystal Hart said that. She said, okay, it's taken them all this long. Now, you know, Dawson won. People got paid for Dawson winning.
Right,
the fight.
They got paid. Right.
And, now you
right.
Say, and they ain't giving the money back.
They ain't gonna give the money, right? And that's what I'm saying. The casinos are now lost fights, and now that the judging has been reversed, now the guys that did lose, and now they could be getting their money back because it was a draw. Now the fact is that boxing has completely destroyed itself, even with the in the eyes of the gamblers now. Okay,
wow.
So they're not going to pick up these bets no more. Okay, because you got to worry about a decision go down. With these stupid organizations, now they're going to change decisions. So where does the boxing commission comes in at?
So this nowhere. They are lame duck people. Well, the problem that I had with it is the fact of the matter is that seeing the film over and over and over again, Dawson actually leaned back and pull his legs, Hopkins' legs, whether he was hurt or not, pull Hopkins' legs and cause him to fall like a body slam. Now, whether he was faking Academy Award performance, that's Hopkins. But the fact of the matter, for them to then turn around and say it's a draw, it should have been a no contest. At best, if they were going to be official, if seeing the films where Dawson pulled his legs with his arms, because he did do that, it's in the film, well, it could have been a disqualification. How many times, guys, Pacquiao hit Marquez in the first fight, in the third knockdown, while Marquez was on the ground? There was no disqualification. Roy Jones hit the day he got disqualified, he knocked
out. Montel Griffin, the fight down in Atlantic City.
And he swiped him with his left hook, and he was disqualified and lost his title. I'm not saying that Dawson should have been disqualified, but at best, it should have been a no decision because of the injury.
Let me give you a point, all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
The boxing world is already ruined, okay? And what has happened here, you're giving these kids, and this is what they are, kids, you're fooling their mind with ways to get out of a fight, okay,
right,
with disqualification. And if you get rid of all these stupid disqualifications and all these no contesting, then the fact is they say you just got to fight until you are knocked out or you win a decision.
Win, lose,
a
draw.
That's the way
win, lose, a draw.
Right,
yeah.
Win, lose, a draw. Not there should be no disqualification with the food. And that's what's happening with today's boxers. They're finding excuses. I mean, now, even if the guy gets cut, if it goes past four rounds, we go through the scorecard. And if before that, it's a no contest. So
I'm going to tell you this. I know a fight one time, and I'm going to say that I'm not going to tell you what fight it was, but I knew that the guy was fighting was going to beat the champion, okay? But the trainer said to me, he said, we can get out of this. Because they had a bigger, if they'd have won, they had a bigger money fight later. He said, what I'm going to do is cut my man in the first round with a razor.
Shit.
Okay? Damn. Then don't stop the fight and then make the fight a no contest. Sure enough, got cut in the first round. Went for like two more rounds. He said I couldn't stop it. The referee stopped it. They called no contest. And the kid turned around and got a fight for almost like $500,000.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
was the
only,
hold on, Dustin.
Right? Don't tell me about it. I'm just telling you about your example. That's the saddest part about this game today, because there's too many loopholes for these fighters and trainers to get out in a fight, and they're messing up the game because you can't come to no decision because of the way the commissioners and these organizations got these stupid rules. And that's what's thrown this game to the dog.
You know, and just two things here. Lady A, go ahead real quick.
Let me ask you a question, Harold. Is it not
hold on, Dust. Hold on. Lady A, come on in real quick. Go ahead, Lady A, go ahead.
When Devin Alexander quit on Tim Bradley, and the fact of the matter is that there was inference that he quit on Tim Bradley because the rematch, which was already signed, was for more money with Tim Bradley. It was supposed to be a unification. Now the rematch, which they had already signed up, was for more money. If he lost, basically you're right. This is what they say. There's a lot of tricks to the game. They're playing games.
There's two thoughts here, Dusty and Harold.
I don't believe
it's a hard
draw.
Hold on, Dust. Lady A, you got something?
All the points that you guys have brought up, Doc and I have discussed in depth, but one of the key things that annoys me more, Harold, is the fact that you do have sometimes these fighters that come to fight, like the gentleman that fought Paul Williams, and I don't know if you guys caught the fight on Saturday night, Will Power Rosinski, who went in there and was literally getting hit by Edwin Rodriguez and was looking at him like, you're not strong enough. You're not stopping me. These guys get in the ring, they fight, they put up a good fight, and then what happens? They don't give them the decision. So it is for Gaethje, because now you look at two sides of it. You look at somebody who goes in the ring, fights, gives a good performance, is given the loss, or is not giving the amount of rounds that they technically won.
Well, maybe there's two schools of thought here, and what you're saying and what Dusty has said, and it's a shame that we listen to Dusty, and what Harold has said. And that, it's the nature of the game. And what Crystal Hart said, and what Harold dovetailed, and Harold is a guy Harold and Dusty have both been in the ring. Harold has been in the ring. Harold has produced fights at the biggest arena in the world. Harold's doing this. And the big thing that Crystal Hart talked about, and I want you to comment on this, Rooney, was this is something that should have been done. When they left the ring Saturday night, all of this should have been done. This should not have been done 3 or 4 days later. What had to be is like finally what football finally did with the coaches making the challenge.
It was a replay.
Did Dusty catch the ball in the end zone? Okay, you know what? Let's go to the tape. The worst thing used to be, I said for years when I wrote for the legendary Big Red News and Ms. Deidre Shula over at the Beacon, the worst thing in the world was everybody saw Harold score a touchdown except the officials on the field. The whole world knew he scored, but the guys who needed to know didn't know. We lost the game 17-10. Finally, football has added, you make a challenge, you go to the thing. It's time for this kind of thing. And with Crystal Hart, the first lady of cable television and this footage, said, and what you said to Harold, we shouldn't be talking about this 4 or 5 days later. We shouldn't be talking about this an hour later. This should have been taken care of right then and there, Harold.
Well, I mean, it should have been taken care of right then and there. But when that referee made that decision, and that's the way it should be going. Because I even know a fight that I had where I won on the scorecards, and they wouldn't do it because they had a riot just before my fight, and they were scared they was gonna have a riot again. So they flipped the scores, and they just say we ain't gonna give Harold a fight, and we're just gonna go ahead and have him lose by 1 point. And that's what it was doing, and was told to me later on. But my point is that
only on Sports In Depth, only in America. Harold, you got to quit playing and write this book. Come on, Harold, quit writing.
I'm a person that just keeps saying to myself. That's come on, don't give me my name.
Well, Harold, listen, use my name and write it. I ain't got no problem with that. Rooney, you listen here. Oh, you know what, gang? Because I did this earlier, but the first lady administration and production, she didn't hear it, so one more time. As you know, the legendary Paquito de Rivera, known as the Latin Charlie Bird, 9-time Grammy Award winner, 35th year of the Lehman Center for Performing Arts will start this year. He will be performing next Saturday, as my daughter Demi celebrates her 30th birthday, at 8 p.m. at the Lehman Center for Performing Arts. And also we'll have the Mumbo Legend Orchestra, which was have members that will be gotten by the legendary Tito Puente, next Saturday at the Lehman Center for Performing Arts, 718-960-8833, 718-960-8833. We're going to go online, www.lehmancenter.org. Number 4 train, or the D train takes you there. You take the 4, you're one block away. Take the D, you're only 2 blocks away. Address, 250 Bedford Park West, and you want to drive your car, it only costs $5. Paquito de Rivera, 9. I'll tell you something about the Grammys, too. And this is a story. Some years ago, Stevie Wonder, one of those nights that, you know, like Stevie and Marvin and Michael, was winning all the Grammys. All the Grammys. And Stevie said, hey, you know what? Hey, Marvin, come up and get this one. You know, hey. He said, you know what? Where are the Grammys for the Latin music? You know, we have to get a Grammy.
Absolutely.
For the Latin music. You know, we are not complete here until we complete the whole scope of music. We have to get Grammys for my Latin system. And this is what I love. And my Latin people understand, you know, and I've said this before, and I'm proud that I am of African-American descent and Native American descent. And what this country has to understand is that with Farmer and Abernathy and Rosa Parks and Dr. King and a whole lot of other names you've never heard, Jackie Robinson and Ali, you know, the African-American was the one that has gotten the civil rights for all of Americans, black, white, green, yellow, Hispanic, Jewish, Italian, and we can never forget what they did, the sacrifices, the bombed houses, the rapings, the slaying, the killing, the howls down, bitten by dogs. And the thing about this, it was like Curt Flood. Curt Flood wasn't worried about just black baseball players. Curt Flood wasn't worried about just left. Curt Flood was doing this for everybody. And this is what African-Americans do. And we can't ever forget the sacrifices they made. And we look back. This is what Stevie said. Where are the Grammys for my Latin sisters and brothers? And we can never forget what this great man did and stood up. And as you know, and I'm saying this because, yes, I was proud to work with her. Yes, I was proud to work with Mr. Lin-Manuel Marcos-Simon. Gloria Gaynor is the only artist in the history of music to win a Grammy. The Queen, the Empress. First, I was afraid. I was petrified. Hey, the first.
Well,
lady,
did you hear?
There's a story about Gloria,
about
too,
Latin,
you know,
Grammys
in the World Cup. Hold on, Dusty. In 2000, France lost a football game, and they heard the other team playing some music. So the captain said, well, hey, what's all the music? He said, hey, we have a theme song. What? We found us a song. We have a theme song. So they said, well, hold on. You know what? We need a theme song. And they heard, first I was afraid. I was petrified. They started playing I Will Survive. They kept winning and winning. He said, hey, who sings this song? Called Mr. Simon, told them, look, the World Cup is in France. You and Miss Gaynor come here. Made her the godmother. France beat Cuba. Me, adios mio. France beat Brazil, the greatest football teams of all time, 1-0. Gloria Gaynor, to show you how revered she is in Brazil, We went into a shopping mall one time. They heard that Gloria Gaynor was there. All the music in the shopping mall for the next half hour was Gloria Gaynor music. They asked Mr. Deja Costa Macho, when we first got there in 2006, they said, we have an affair with Carver's, which is like their look life, the biggest magazine. Said, is it possible Miss Gaynor could come to the show? And Mr. Costa Macho said, well, you know, ironically, you've picked the night that we open. And you know the traffic in St. Paul is the worst traffic in the world. And, you know, we're going to have to leave the hotel at 7. He said, ho. If Miss Gaynor can come, we will send a helicopter to pick you all up. And that's what they did. But I'm just saying how Stevie said, hey, there's something wrong here. Where's my Latin sister and brothers? Consider the Latin Charlie Berg one more time, 35th anniversary of Lehman Center for Performing Arts. The great Paquito de Rivera from Cuba, as Dusty said, got kicked out. I had to put that Dusty in, but I'm blaming you. You want to call anybody, call Dusty. The Mambo Legends Orchestra will also be there.
He did.
The members of
Tito
Puente
him
Band.
Arturo Sandoval was kicked out because Castro considered Latin jazz and jazz music decadent for his regime. So, in fact,
you know what,
Dusty had to go there on the cover.
And the thing you talk about that, because it was
Sky Clubs, man.
Come with me on this. It was Mosquito, and once again, African-American, Dizzy Gillespie, that formed the unison of Cuban and American jazz. Am I correct?
Chano Pozo and Gillespie, when they wrote Manteca, that was the first thing. And what I wanted to tell you now is that you talk about the Grammys. We used to get the Grammys, when they're finally in, we used to get the Grammys behind the stage before the cameras went on national TV.
Yeah,
and now some jackass just recently diluted or took away the award, the Grammys from the Latin jazz category because he didn't feel that it was worthy or whatever the heck his decision was, and they said, well, what about Latin jazz? Well, it shall be blended in with contemporary jazz. Now tell me if this is not as different as night and day. And that's
Dusty,
what they're doing.
I hear some bitterness here.
Bitterness? And I could cut that dude's throat and hang him to Gaddafi for what he did to the music.
Doc Stanley, forces up on the Blake Video.
That's
pure channel. I'm going to say this to you, people listening to me in Brazil, in Cuba, in China, in Belgium, in Germany, in Korea, in Chicago, in New York City, in California. I've said this. I will say this again. You cannot touch my crew. This show, yeah, we're sports, but the education that's come here, the history, Dusty, Harold, Lady A, Little Coco, Mel Smith, the Hoopster, you know what I mean? To others, I am somebody. This show is what it is because of my panel. And that great line that Walt Whitman has. Walt Whitman said, I no doubt deserve my enemies, but I doubt if I deserve my friends. And I just thank God, first and foremost, and also Mr. Neil Blake, and say hello to his dad, and Deirdre Shuler, who just do such a great job and have allowed me and these fantastic people that I work with to come here every Sunday morning on the Sabbath, the Good Lord's Day, and bring you what I feel is unequivocally the best sports show in not only the world, but on the planet. Rooney, you've been silent. You've been quiet. Let it out, Rooney. What you got to say, baby? Let it flow.
Well, Doc, myself, like I'm sure your thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of disciples here in the Sports and Deaf Nation, I'm just enjoying it all. You know, when you say that we have just a tremendous, tremendous power panel with the Howard Westons and the Dusties and the Christina Lewis's, the Dusties, the Lady A's, the Hoopsters. I mean, you know, I'm just sitting here spellbound. I mean, as good as I may be, I mean, the panel actually is great. I want to say one thing right quick, Doc, in regard to the Jets right quick.
Are you going to tell me your man Schottenheimer just called you?
Well, no. No, he didn't, but I'll say this, Doc. You know, for those three straight weeks that they lost those three straight games, mm-hmm. I thought they were going to change their motto of we go to the ground and pound to they look more instead of ground and pound, more like the grunt and punt.
But, you know, ever since the offensive line has been called out and they've given, you know, the young Sanchez, you know, at least a chance not to be running for his life on every play, he has looked better. As what Howard was saying about the boxing, you know, it's true, man. The fans are just getting so fed up. $15 here, $55, what is it, $59.95 for this? And they're not getting their money's worth anymore. Howard and Dusty know that back in the day, and I guess I'm dating myself, hey, man, when two dudes came out in those tights and walked that aisle, they came to rumble. Not dance, not trick-or-treat, they came to rumble. These guys are walking around like they got a cab waiting. I'm sorry, lady. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying just to add to what you're saying, you're 100% right. But also, isn't it sad? I think it's sad, Harold, when the undercard is better than the main event.
I don't even think the undercard even good today. I think what's the problem is that you have people that's doing the sports work today. They're just doing it for the money. We did it for pride. We did it for dignity. These guys don't have that. You know what I'm saying? They don't care if they win or lose. They all want to just fight a bum and get like 20 bums and then say, I want to fight for the title. As long as they get the money, that's what it is. So there's no pride in these guys today. There's no dignity in these guys. That's what comes the foreign fighters are better than American fighters. I'm telling you right now, you have no fighters. My words to you. You have no fighters in New York City.
Absolutely.
Simple as that. One time you had everybody in every weight class in New York. You don't have no fighter, no name fighter in New York City today.
The
talent is gone. The trainers are not here.
Will they ever have? Do you ever foresee a day, you two, Dusty, Doc, Lady A? Do any of you ever foresee a day when maybe they'll go through in regard to the purses, a winner take all?
No,
they'll never do it. That will never.
You saw the guy fight this Saturday. Didn't you see the fight? He came here for a payday. So can you imagine him coming here, the winner take all, him fighting like that? Please.
Right, no, it's impossible. But you know, to echo what Howard said about there are no fighters today.
Bernard Hopkins? You think Bernard Hopkins took a fight? No, he's gonna get his butt beat, falling on the floor for the winner take all? No, they'll never do that.
Okay,
and then you just hear the words. They have no pride, no dignity. The last thing they're gonna do is a winner take all.
Only people that
does that is people that's got pride and dignity and know they're good, so they'll take that challenge. But people that don't have no pride and dignity, they're gonna say, no, I ain't gonna do that, man. Shoot,
I can lose. You know, and
they already thought about losing.
And the thing is, with boxing today is that it's the money angle. I mean, which person coming in out of nowhere, whether Westchester or the South Bronx or East New York, is going to go into the ring knowing he's going to get his tail whipped, man, and a winner take all, and or go in there without the money angle. It's the money. I mean, today we are spoiled. When I'm saying spoiled, I'm talking about the boxing community. We are spoiled. They are bogus titles. You know, the other day I was laughing hysterically. There was the junior featherweight Latino WBA championship. That means if you're not Latino, you can't compete. But, you know, so if you're African-American or Jewish or whatever, you can't compete because this is a Latino championship. And, you know, the guy was...
Dusty, you mean
title.
Is it not even a black thing, Dusty?
I'm going to tell you. So are we supposed to invent now the African-American junior middleweight title? Or the Polish, or the Polish heavyweight title. I mean, this is the creation of
Dusty
the
for governor.
Of the alphabet
forward,
of the people.
Dusty for governor.
The alphabet soup people who have taken control of the commissions, and this is and they're paying these
Dusty
fighters.
For commissioner.
They're paying these fighters. They're paying these fighters good money. Here, you got a kid coming from Hialeah, Mexico, who make $3 in 5 months. He's getting $5,000. To become a Latino champion, I mean, and if he defends his title 50 times, my God, the guy's a millionaire. He goes back home to Hialeah, and he got a castle there. This is what the problem is. No talent, but it's the money that keeps bringing these people in. I saw so many guys who have no talent undefeated. I saw a guy from Philadelphia the other day, Edwin Rivera or something like that. He fought Kendall Holt. He was undefeated, 17-0, something like that, with 11 knockouts.
Yeah, we can pull that.
I figured this guy's going to fight Kendall Holt will kill him. This guy didn't even know what a jab was, what a right hand was, what an uppercut was, but he beat Kendall Holt, which shocked me.
It shocked Brandon Jacobs and Kendall Holt. Do we have a World Series update? Are we playing tonight, World Series Baseball?
St. Louis is losing 4-0.
What inning?
And bottom of the seventh.
Okay, bottom of the seventh. Also, they had some good football games today. The Eagles are off this week. Packers were having a pretty rough time with the Vikings. The Falcons, as it turned out, beat Detroit again. Hoops, I'm going to go to you now in the closing seconds here. Your team, Earl Clyde on the ball, McAdoo, Doc up front, Wilt in the hole, Mike coming off the bench, Stephen A. Smith, Bird dunking up front, Jabbar in the middle, Magic and Magic on the ball. Dr. J's team, Baylor, Wilt, and Russell up front with Oscar and Wes on the ball. Now, which team is the better of the three teams?
Wow. That's a tough one. My team.
Hey, who are your team? What team?
My team. You know, I say my team.
Hey, who's the are we really... And you said, are we really looking at if they push games back to November? And you have said this. Are we really looking at no? And I talked to guys at the Garden yesterday who already said that the Garden is doing.
Matter of fact, they fixed up the Garden already. Look,
yeah,
nice.
But what I'm saying, Hoops, what I'm saying here, what will happen is that college basketball will get more exposure, and the people don't realize college basketball was bigger than pro basketball. Could there be a possibility, Hoopster, if there's a strike and no NBA, that college basketball could once again supplant and be the number one basketball fixture in basketball and kind of go back where it used to be?
No, it's going to be overseas now. That's going to be the thing to watch. These NBA players going overseas. That college basketball.
Yes, Kobe Bryant, Carmelo Anthony, and some other guys got contracts out there.
Well, they want to start their own league. How are they going to do that? They're not going to get the big money like they're making.
Is there really a chance of no basketball? I mean, people forget a couple of years ago there was no hockey. Is there really this chance of no NBA basketball, Hoopster?
It looks like it, and plus the players got to give in. They got to give in. I'm glad that they all sticking together, but they have to give in. It doesn't look too good right now.
Well,
it might not be NBA season.
Stephen A. Smith said, you know, they got to know when they have leverage. Hoopster, you know, we look at this team that Stephen A. gave me. He had Bird, Duncan, Jabbar, Magic Johnson, and Michael Jordan. No question in your mind, just five truly great basketball. And he told us that Kevin McHale, as a forward, from 5 feet from the basket was unstoppable. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he was unstoppable. He had that turnaround jump shot. He was tough.
People forget, Hoopster, and you just brought it to me, that Parrish was 7 feet. Am I correct?
7 feet, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bird was 6'10". McHale was 6'11". For a matter of just 3 inches, shucks, we had a darn near 7 foot front line.
Front line, people
forget about that. Just for the matter of three, I mean, Bird was 6'10", 2 more inches, he's 7 feet, and then if you give McHale another inch, that's a 7 foot line. It's no wonder all those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Gang, I got to close out here. Doc Stanley Sports and up on the Blake Media Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel.
Yep.
Doc, I want to say something else, too. Doc, I want to say something.
Yeah.
I was watching HBO with Brian Gumbel, and he said David Stern was racist.
Yeah.
What did you thought of that, Doc?
Well, you know what? We're going to save that thought, but, hey, we're going to end with that. And As they would say, it's
Blaze
hey.
Mentality.
Well, hey, well, a lot of times, the great book by Bill Reardon, who said, talking about basketball, is $40 million slaves. Hey, gang, love you. Hang on just a minute. Larry Hardy's going to take us out, and we'll do it 2 seconds afterwards. Larry, please.
Take care, everybody.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Leave it with three thoughts. Live your life today. That's the typical God. Like the system, the urgent question is, what are you doing for others? I simply say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all. Live your life today. Stand before God tomorrow. Trust in God. Gang, love you. Te amo. Next Sunday, this time, except Dusty. Dusty, everybody is going to be away trick or treating, so don't call in.
I'm going to the Latin Grammys. Get out of here.
Did I let you in?
God bless. Thank you.
Good night.
Yeah, take care. God bless.
Good night. Y'all take care.
I got it.
Okay, take care, everybody. God bless.